Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power.
Glory, glory, glory to God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for every single breath that we take, Father. Every single opportunity, Father, that you give us to be in your presence, Father, to experience new mercies, new grace, this grace-filled life, Father, that you have given to us through Christ Jesus. We just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place right now. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we ask you to take charge. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, and we ask you to go forth and to preach this word and to teach this word to every single mind and to every single heart, to every single man, woman, and child, you know, that are here in Sunday service. Do it all in your name, Lord Jesus. We decree and we declare that we live a life of dependency on you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you for living on the inside of us and being our personal instructor, being our personal way maker, being our personal keeper. Hallelujah. Being our strength and our joy, just being our everything. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, we ask that you preach this word with clarity. We ask, Father God, that you preach this word with understanding, that we may have a yearning and a new desire to know what is your perfect will concerning us in the name of Jesus. Every single unclean thought, every single unclean spirit, we bind you right now in the name of Jesus. And we say you go in Jesus' name, for you're not welcome here. And we thank you, Father. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. And everybody do say amen and amen again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you are so good. You are so, so good, Father. And you are so worthy to be praised. Welcome, everyone, here to Bible study this afternoon or this evening. I don't know exactly where you are. And do bear with me. I may be a little, sound a little bit hoarse or clogged and congested. You know, my allergies have been kicking up on me the last few days, but that it's going to be all right. You know, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit use me, even in the middle of allergy or allergy season. I'm just going to let them use me. But welcome every single one here to Bible study. If you are online, we would love for you to engage in Bible study with Apostle Tawanika and I. Do call in 845-277-9213. Do call in and share in with us. Get your Bibles. Amen. You know, Bible study, you know, is the time where we can study the Bible. So get your Bibles that we can be able to look at some things. You know, if there's something that's in the Bible that maybe you want to have some clarity on, or, you know, a different view or a different revelation. You know, sometimes we read things in the Bible and it may seem foggy or gray to us. And that's why we have Bible study, so we can be able to study, you know, the Word of God, to be able to get clarity, so we can make sure that we are on the right track and not just getting any type like the Bible say, understanding. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So that's why we come to Bible study, so we won't lean to our own understanding about something that we read in the Bible, or even something that we heard someone say it, you know, to us, and we can't find it in the Bible, or we find it in the Bible, but we have a misinterpretation of it. So, amen, praise God.
Pastor Talrik and I, you know, we are so so in love with the Lord, because God just he loves us so much, and he trusts us, you know, with your souls. You know, he have prepared us to be the shepherds, prepared us to be the leaders, you know, of his flock. I mean, y'all are not our flock. Y'all are his flock. We just are the ones that are the leaders that he be able to flow through us. And I'm so grateful. So, again, welcome every single one. We have been studying the Bible the last, well, let's make the third Wednesday, right, Basil? The third Wednesday, we had been studying God is life. And we have been really digging into this place of study. God is life. You know, we started September the 14th with God is life. You know, I've been you know, really allowing the Holy Spirit to use me on that, you know, not to say what I think, you know, but to say what God, what he would have for me, you know, to say. And September the 14th, we started out, you know, it was a statement that was made about God is life. And the first statement that was made was, it's just a review so we can catch up if you have not been. First statement, September the 14th, was, any question you really want to know about your life, go to Jesus. And that's a very powerful statement. And we, you know, the lesson went forth, I'm not going to go through the whole lesson, but the lesson went forth, any question that you really want to know about your life, go to Jesus. Okay? And then here it is, last Wednesday, which was September the 21st, we had Bible study, but it was more a open floor, you know, open floor for you to testify about your life, or to testify, or to be a witness about things that's going on in your life. Because, see, what we wanted to do was, we don't want to be a church, or we don't want to be a leader or a shepherd that's going to try to give you something that you may not even understand. You know, I can give you instructions on how to do something, or I can give you instruction on where to go get it done. And that's pretty good if a person has the courage or the know-how, or they have a zeal about themselves where they, you know, you tell a person something and they have that trust in you, and then they'll just go it, you know, and follow the instructions and just do it. That's good. But not everybody is like that. That's why we had open floor last Wednesday, because it's better for me to show you my life. And that's what I did. You know, I opened up and I talked about some things that are a part of my life, things that have been going on in my life. You know, I can't tell it all, but I talked about some things, and I actually used my life as a place of being a living example, a living witness. I talked about, you know, the things that I practice and the things that I do, you know, that are lining up with the will of God and lining up with the word of God. And I didn't necessarily know that when I was younger in my youth, and maybe even when I was, you know, new in the body of Christ, but it was already in me, you know, to be inclined to do these things. And that word practice is what I was saying. So we need to understand that being practical and practicing life, that means every single thing to you and I and everybody living in life is to actually practice life. Because there's so many things that we practice in life that doesn't necessarily lead to God's life, but it leads us to a death, which is the opposite of life. And we'll get into that this Wednesday. We'll get into that to, this that brings us up to God is life. So now we had open floor, like I said, last week, and that's what it was, just testifying, and we looked at Apostle Paul's letter over here in the book of Romans, chapter 12. We looked at the fruits of life there. We talked about what it means to eat the bread of life and to drink of the cup of the Lord, to drink his blood. You know, these are things that we talked about. So when we're talking about God is life, we need to understand that is far more than what we can really put in, how you say it, Apostle? You can't put, you can't sum up God's life into, like, a Bible study lesson. I know, that's right. Like Apostle said, you know, he is eternal. So that's right. It's a continuous learning, a continuous living, a continuous striving, a continuous knowing, a continuous being in God's presence. And even the Word of God tells us that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it even entered into the heart of man yet. What God has in store for you, what it is for you to know, or what it is for you to see. Jesus. So just think about the life that we're living. You know, we have people, you know, that think they just know everything about life, when even, you know, the Word of God says that you don't even, you can't even grasp of life, or what it is, you know, that God has for you. But I thank God that the portions that he allowed for me to see, I thank God for this right here portion that allowed for me to see, because not everyone chooses God's life, and that don't mean that it wasn't given to them. It just means that it was given to them, but they may have chose something that was contrary to God's life, another life which led to death, which means the end of life. Hallelujah. God is life, church. God is life. What I want to do right now is, if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to go with me over here to the book of, where we want to start today. How about Revelations? To the book of Revelations. And Revelation chapter 20, we'll start here. Revelation chapter 20, and start with verses 11. And I will read this from the King James Version, and I will read from the NLT, the New Living Translation of Revelations. Now, Revelation chapter 20, and we will end up over here in Revelation 21. We will get there. Because I want to show you God's life. Like, we have heard so much from experience about life, and I'm talking about this life that we're living right here on earth. There have been lessons, there have been studies, there have been history, there has been all different type of things, you know, that people have been to parts of the sea and found caves and all different types of things. There were writings, you know, that were on caves. I mean, we're talking about cities that don't even exist anymore, that are underwater, you know, that we don't even know anything about. There were accounts, you know, of things that went on years and years ago. You know, there were scrolls and things, you know, that were found, and there were things that were about life. You know, so we have had an opportunity to have a look or have a view. What I'm talking about, things that have been recorded. More than that, you know, we have witnesses, you know, that's scholars, where we're talking about theologians. We have theologians of scholars. We have all different type of material that we can know about this life that we're living here. But what I found out is that there is a place that many believers, we don't really tap into this place about God's life, and I'm talking about the life after this life. We have a concept of life and death, but many of us as believers and non-believers, we don't have a concept of eternal, like a real glimpse or a real hold in our minds and in our heart or a desire about eternal life, and even death being eternal. We don't have a concept of that. So therefore, because we're not conscious or don't have a concept of that, we tend to live this life as if this is the you know, right, like Apollo said, the home, or this is it. That's right. This is the place. I got all that it is that I want. I'm striving to get all that I can get while I'm here, as if there is nothing on the other side. So that's why I want to talk about God's life, because if we don't talk about this part, then we're not really going into the, we're not tapping into the place of the reason why God being, okay, let me say this right, Jesus being very much God did not find it robbery to make himself equal to man, live this life that like each and every one of us is living right now, live this life, gave up his life as a sacrifice, died and went to hell for us, resurrected from the dead by the Holy Spirit, and even ascending into this very thing what we're going to talk about today, is ascending into heaven, where he's right now sitting on the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and I. See, now that's the part where we stop right there. Oh, yeah, he's just interceding for you and I, but do you understand when he says interceding what that's all about? Because if you don't, if you just, okay, I know that he lived, I know that he died, I know that he was raised from the dead, I know that he was here dwelt amongst his people, you know, for about 40 days, and I know that he ascended back into heaven, and we just stop right there. Even those apostles, the way I'm saying this, even those apostles, when he was taken up, it said, you know, how they were just gazing up at the in the clouds, you know, as if like, okay, all right. Well, I guess that's the end, because, you know, he's gone so soon, you know. Even that same place right there, that's that place where we need to understand that Jesus just ain't just sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty right now for no reason. We need to have a concept of, hey, there is life after this world, after this life. Because when you get a conscious in a place, you know, of that, then you know if Jesus, if he lived and he died and he was resurrected and he went somewhere back to a place to prepare a place for you and I, according to the word of God, then that should be the place that you should be preparing to dwell in. Amen. Amen. Any questions, any comments before we even go far? Because it seems like, you know, God is life. Apostle, you have any questions, any comments before we move on? Or okay, let's just go ahead on. And I want you to, do you have Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15? Mm-hmm. Can you read that?
Not the Bible, I mean?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll be coming from a New King James Version. And this is Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works,
yeah,
by the things which were written in the books.
Yeah.
The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead,
yeah,
who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Amen. Thank you.
Father, thank you for reading that. You just read something that gives us a glimpse of on the other side, life after this life. But many times, you know, we don't study over here in the place of Revelation because we just want to be blind or we want to be ignorant to of this, what you just read. We want to be ignorant of that because we as people, we feel like if we don't know and we ignorant of it, then you can't hold me accountable for how I'm living my life. That's very strategic, and we need to understand, you know, that is a mind that is set. That's why last week we looked at what Apostle Paul, the letter that he wrote to Romans, to the Romans over here in 12, where he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, that's not just, you know, for us to be transformed by the renewing of your minds about this right here life that you're living. That means that's good, but we need to understand, you know, that is a place of you being held accountable. Even Jesus said over here in John chapter 14 and 1, he says to let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you. Even that what Jesus saying right here, what he's saying is that there is life that's on the other side. And I must go to prepare this place for you because there is life that's being prepared for you on the other side. And I'm glad that you read this, Apostle, because this is that place, you know, in the life of believers, the life of saints. We don't even have to talk about, you know, someone that don't believe in him. You know, I'm talking about those, you know, who are believers, because we want to live just like we want to live. We want to pretend. We want a pretend life. Or we want a life that look like on the outside, but really on the inside, we living it like we want to live it. But when people are looking, we going to live it like what the words say. But really, how we really are, I ain't going to read no revelations and talking about no names being in no book of life. And I'm not going to read this here and talking about the lake of fire and the second death because I'm not going there. That's right. We're not going there. But I want to say this, and it's going to be a very powerful thing that I'm going to say. Everybody that say Lord, Lord, and Jesus, Jesus is not going to heaven. There are many people that know the Bible. There are many people that you know, they even do signs and wonders. There are many that you know, just like what I said, you can see, you know, that they are a type of being on the outside. But if you was just to really get to know them, you would see that, wait a minute, a lot of what you're saying, or most of what you're saying, don't line up with the real way that you live. You know, you say this one thing, and I, you know, that's, it's easy to fool people. I think the Bible calls them the Antichrist are false prophets. That's what the Bible describes them as, you know, the Antichrist or the false prophet. They were fooled. Even the most elect can be fooled and have a lot of people that will follow them. But the place that they're going is the place right here in Revelation where you read is that lake of fire. It's talking about that second death. That's that eternal death. So now, God is life. So there is life that's on the other side of this life that you're living, and that's what I want to reiterate that. Now, when we talk about God is life, there is something that you read there, Apostle. We have a topic here saying God is life. But right here, you read over here in Revelation chapter 20, I think that was 20 verses 12. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. And correct me if I'm wrong. The book of Revelation was written by John. Wrote the book. Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation here. It was a tribute to him writing this. And what he was saying is what he saw. And what he saw. Mm-hmm. In Revelation, he's saying what he saw. Mm-hmm. So look what he says right here in the New Living Translation, the NLT, verses 12, chapter 20, verses 12 in NLT. Yeah, same one that you just read. I'm just reading a different translation. He says, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were open, including the book of life. Now, that really stood out to me right there. So now, we're studying a lesson about God is life, and God, he is life. So we need to understand, you know, what it means, you know, for us to live a life in Christ. We need to understand what that means. Living a life in Christ, we know that when you live this life in Christ, your name is written in this book, or is written in the book of life. So is it fair for me to say, God is life, and there is a book that holds life in it, and it is for us to would I say this, be elected or be called or for us to be written in this book of life. So now life on this side, and then there's life after this life, eternal life, and there is a book of life. However we say, I think, Father say, inducted into it, you know. But you know what? That's a good way to look at it, like a Hall of Fame thing, but way much more than that, you know. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. See, a Hall of Fame is all about, you know, the performance of the person that they're, but here it is, this book right here is all about the performance of God in the person. Amen. The performance of God in the person. So, or the life of God in the person. The life of God in the person gets the person's name written in the book of life. Amen. And I would imagine there's, they don't necessarily say this here, but if you're not in the book of life, then there's probably a book of death, or that's right, a lake of fire. So either in the book of life or in the lake of fire. You're right about that, you know, to be clear. Okay, so NLT version of this, it says, and there's a book, and the book was open, including the book of life. And what St. John says here, he goes on to say, and death was judged according to what they have done, as recorded in the books. So I was right about that. I said the book of death. Because look, because right here what it says is, I said there's a book of life, then there's probably a book of death. The NLT version, it says, and death were judged according to what they have done as recorded in this book. Uh-huh. So in this book of life, obviously, you know, it has, yeah, everything's recorded. Okay, there we go. That's a better way to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our goal. And that's the reason why we're reading this here in Revelation. This is our goal. Our goal is to, first we have to get an understanding about life. Because once you get an understanding about life, and you do that by, you know, experiencing, receiving, eating of the word of God, or receiving God in that place of being the creator, you know, the founder, you know, the maker. You know, this is your covenant that you have, this agreement, this relationship that you have with him. You know, he gives eternal life, that place of salvation. I think we preached that last Sunday at 2 p.m., a place of, well, I forget what the lesson was last Sunday at 2 p.m., but I know I was talking about submitting, what that really means, and salvation. But that place, salvation, we need to understand salvation. This is a part, what he's talking about right here, this is a part of salvation. Salvation is for us to live a godly life, but we need to understand that when salvation have come in on the inside of you, you had already started to experience eternal life right here in this place, according to this right here, because this is where your name is being written in the book of life. Amen. 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 Okay. So I want to go here to Revelation chapter 21. It was something that I was reading, and it really, it stuck out to me, because, you know, if you really don't know this, then how can you say that, you know, you're actually lining up with it, you're living and you're lining up with it. Revelations chapter 21, and since I'm in the NLT, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Revelations 21 and verses, I'm starting here at 5, and I'm going to try to read here to maybe 10. Okay. So it reads here in the New Living Translation, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He's talking about Jesus. Amen. And these, he said to me, and then he said to me, write this down. For what? Let me see, these words are going. Let me get my glasses. Hold on one second here. Every now and again, you know, my eyes, they start to cross up with these little words. One second. Okay. Start back over. Okay. Revelation 21 and verses 5. It says here, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and truth. 6 reads here. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the spring of the water of life. I want to put a period right there. So Jesus, he said to write these things down. What I tell you, so these things are trustworthy. He said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the spring of the water of life. So is it fair to say that when we say God is life, and we also just find out that there is a book of life, and now here it is, there's a spring of life. Is it fair to say that there's a spring of life? He said, you're thirsty, you can drink from the spring of life. So here's God's life, there's book of life, and there's a spring of life. Okay, what does that mean? We'll find out here in just a second here. Let me read on here. 7, Revelation 21 and 7. It reads here, all who are victorious will inherit all things blessing. He will inherit all these blessings and will be, he said, I will be their God and they will be my children. 8 says, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and some liars. No, it says all liars. He said, and all liars, their fate, F-A-T-E, is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Okay? So now 9 says, one of the sevens who held the seven bowl containing the seven last plagues came and said unto me, come. He said, come with me and let me show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Okay? 10 says, so he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city of Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Now, 11, it goes on and it starts to describe that holy city. I'll be honest with you. All right, this right here place where it says that your name is written in the book of life. Okay, well, Jesus was saying that who ain't going to heaven. Right here where he was saying that who ain't going in into this holy city, who ain't going in there. He said cowards ain't going in. So when God tells you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, but you not being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that means that you being strong in some other thing, or you being weak, or you being coward. That's that place of disbelief. See, you can be a person that have the knowledge of God, but just because you have the knowledge of God, see, when trials and tribulations come, see, you can turn coward, and turning coward means that, you know, we know what a coward is. You know, a coward, he runs. You know, he or she, you know, they run when the time comes, you know, to trust in God, you know, to be able to use all the things that we know. It's easy for a person to tell somebody else to do it. Oh, this is what you have to do. Well, the word of God says this, so this is what you have to do. But when it comes to their time, they become cowards. They ain't going in. You say unbelievers ain't going in. People that practice witchcraft. I want to deal with that one right quick before we move forward. The people that practice witchcraft, you need to understand what witchcraft is all about. Witchcraft is, it's not even something spiritual. Witchcraft is the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. So if you are using deception to be able to get somebody to do something that you want them to do because it's something that you want them to do, you need to understand it as a place of witchcraft. If you're saying things to cause a person to feel shame, guilty, condemned. Okay, we need to understand that that is a form of witchcraft. If you are a manipulating person, or if you are, like right here, St. John said, if you are a liar, he said all liars. Some people think that I lied to get you to go in the right direction. But really, no. Okay, you need to understand, you know, what witchcraft, that's the works of the flesh. Or if you're using your words to be able to blind a person from the truth so you can be in control. See, we need to understand that control, that is a form of witchcraft. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people are skilled? How many of you know that are skilled in that area of witchcraft. There was a saying that we used to say when I was back in Louisiana, can talk a pit bull off the back of a meat truck. A hungry pit bull on the back of a meat truck. That was a saying. What that saying mean is, he got such a smooth tongue or such a slick tongue, or she's so smooth, she don't think, you better watch her. You better watch him. They are so good, can talk so good, or talk a hungry pit bull back of a meat truck. That means that they dibble and dabble, or they practice works of the flesh, which is witchcraft. That's witchcraft. We know what idol worshipers are. We know what that are. But these are the people that are not going to say, idol worship is when you think yourself to be so high and you want people to praise you. Or you're so fixated in on trying to get in the things of this world, the money, the cars, the fame, the clothes, the titles, you know, to be recognized, you know, on your job, or to be I need to get the promotion so I can be over this one or over that one. We need to understand that, you know, what's really going on right there. You know, instead of you being humble, you're trying to be exalted. Well, clearly, the word of God says, you know, those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humble. So you need to understand this is that place where we worship these idols. Idols are not just money. You know, people can be your even your own children. I know that may be one of the hardest things that a person can ever say. Even your own children can end up being your idols. That's a hard one there. Put it like this. Anything or anybody or anything that you put before God, you put before what God is trying to do, have became your idols. If it's the football game on Sunday, then the football game is your idol. If it's this here went on over here and I got to stop what I'm doing right here because he's just moving and I got to go over here. They have became your idol. And I'm telling you, children, you think that Satan won't use children? Satan would use children more than anything to be able to turn a believer's eyes, cut a believer's mouth off and turn their eyes off of what God's doing. He'll show you his children. We need to understand that if we all are God's children, then that means that Satan wants to be able to use children. Hallelujah. Oh, we don't want to hear that, though. Oh, no, I got to be there for my daughter. Yeah. But some things can wait. Some things can wait. We are to yield to the Holy Spirit and to go after the Holy Spirit. We're not to yield to idols. We're not to yield to one another and then go after God. That ain't what the word of God says. Anyways, anyhow, Jesus said that these are the ones that are going into the second death, which is the lake of fire. Now that we have an understanding of this, we are having a more clearer understanding of God's life. And because we have a more clearer understanding of God's life, don't allow anybody or anything, even yourself, to miss out on God's life and what he promised you about eternal life, opportunities to be in sync with him, one with him, led by the Holy Spirit to make every decision, being a living example, practical, living proof of who God is on the inside. When people see you, you don't have to tell them who you are. They would tell you, God sent you. I was going through this and I was going through that. And when your presence, when you came in and you opened up your mouth and you begin this, I can see the Holy Ghost all on you. I can hear God in you. See, this is that practical life. But even us, you know, after that, our minds should be fixed on not the place where we're living right now. Our minds should be fixed on the one that Jesus is prepared for us. Amen. And this is that place where if we was to keep on reading, St. John was talking about after he said about name written the book of life, and then he said, take a drink. He's talking about that holy city. That's what the bride. He said, let me show you Jesus' wife, that holy city, that new Jerusalem. He said he took him up in a high mountain, to a great high mountain, you know, of the Spirit. And he showed them, and we're not going to go that right there far, you know, to read that. You can read that on your own. If you want to know, you want to have a little glimpse into what heaven looks like, read Revelations chapter 21 and start there at verses 10 and just read on down and you can get a little glimpse on what it looks like. Amen. I'll let you do that on your own. Any questions, any comments here before we wrap this thing up? We got about 6 minutes. You have any questions or any comments, Apostle? Okay. I have a little something to share when I say God is life. What I want to share is that, every day, you know, you need to understand that every day is not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same unless you want to continue living yesterday. And I want to say that because if you continue to live, if you live today like you lived yesterday, then your today is going to look like yesterday. It's going to sound like yesterday. It's going to feel like yesterday. And you have replayed a whole other day. So you just been something that's gone and you bringing it back to a place, and a lot of times you get stuck. So we really got to understand that this is the reason why, you know, we have God's life, you know, because there's going to be a constant battle every single day. I have a friend, and I'm not going to say who the friend is, but I have a friend that he's no longer with us, and I really want to say this here, you know, there are some places to where, you know, I believe that, you know, this was premature. It was premature death. Now, I'm not saying that he gave his own life, but what I'm saying is that when there are places that God don't want you to go, or there are places that God, where he do want you to go, and you make decisions that you're going to go where you want to go. Well, you need to understand that you can go in any direction that you want to go. But if God is leading you in something or in a direction, that's the place where you need to be. Because going in another direction, that's your choice, you can put yourself in a dangerous position that shouldn't even never been there. Or if God is telling you to let that alone, let that go, don't speak that anymore, speak my word, but you make a decision that you don't let it go, and you keep on speaking something that kills. Life or death lies, you know, in the mouth. And you keep on speaking something, you got to really realize that you can do that. If you was to read Revelations, then you will understand literally what you're doing. Literally what you're doing is you are denying the word of truth. You are denying God from being your leader. Now, if you don't belong to God, then, you know, all right. But if you do belong to God, oh, my goodness, it's like, have we read Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I think around about 16 or 19, it says, quench not the Holy Spirit, or quench not the Spirit. How many times will we do that when God say, you know, okay, don't say that and don't do that, and then we make a decision to God, you're going on away from here. I got this here. I just want to be angry. It's something that I want to do. I'm set. My mind is set to it. My heart is set. I got to make this person feel like I feel. I got to show them what type of power that I have. I got to show them what I got to do. You need to understand what you're doing. You need to understand that. And there's a place for you. The Bible says the place for you. I'm not here to tell you what the place is. The Bible says. Jesus says this in the Bible. He said, write this down. This is trustworthy. This is worthy of writing down so you can tell somebody. Obviously, if you write it down, that means you don't forget this. You can tell somebody about this. He said, cowards and unbelievers and corrupt and murderers and immoral and those who practice witchcraft and idol worship and all liars. That means that when God speaks the truth, I like the all liars part. When God is speaking the truth to you and you deny the truth and you go after some other truth which is not the truth, oh, my goodness, you have followed the father of lies, which is the devil. And it says that for 1,000 years, he shall be bound with a great chain and cast down to a bottomless pit, which is the second death, where we know that is hell. That's what the second death is. It's hell. Hell was never meant for you, but a lot. We'll see it. A lot will see it. Not because it's something that God has done. No, it's something that you, because who you are choosing to follow. Amen. God is life. And I want us all to be conscious and to understand that every single day, you know, we have a choice. We have a choice on which direction that we're going to go in. I'm not saying that every day is going to be easy, neither I'm saying that every day is going to be rough. But what I am saying is if you will look to Jesus, if you will look to Jesus and ask him, you know, to show me, or, you know, just let me stop for a second. Let me yield. Let me be quiet. You know, let me hear what you have to say. Let me take a breath of life. Take a breath of life. Let me, okay. Need to understand. Even in the middle of your trials, you can have peace. But you have to choose to take peace. Just like anything else, you have to choose to take it. Amen. God is life, and Jesus is Lord. Satan has already been defeated. We are victorious because of Christ Jesus. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness. Even in our mouths, we have it in our mouths. We have it in our hearts. We have one another to be able, that know God, that are in Christ, to be able, you know, to sharpen one another. We have so many weapons. We have in the name of Jesus. We have so many weapons. We have so many things. So many things. Number one thing is we have God's love and God's protection. We have angels that are assigned to us. We have a host, heavenly host, that are assigned to us. So this life that you're living, live this life in a place of resting, believing, trusting, asking in a place of sincerity when you don't know, and doing all that God leads you to do, because what he's trying to lead you to is this place where he has, that is being created for you, that new heaven. Amen. God bless you. May God keep you. Any questions, any comments before we wrap up here? Apostle, you have any questions, any comments, any closing remarks, anything?
Nothing much. It's just that when you were saying something, I wanted to find the scripture about, you know, who will not inherit the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of a scripture in the book of Romans, I believe, if this is correct. It's Apostle Paul saying, I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This keep on doing. Paul is a saint, but he's not sinless. He wants to do good, but he sometimes sins. And I just want to say that though we fall down because we have Christ, we have the resurrection power, we get back up again and believing and trusting in Christ and our salvation through Christ Jesus, that we get up and we win, we enter in by our faith into this eternal life with Christ Jesus. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Every now and again, you know, we will fall. Even God knows that. You know, he said that. He said you're going to see evil days. You will have evil days. He said you'll have evil days. You know, but if we're going to live by one word, we better live by it all. Live by it all. And we will get into that next. I think we're going to wrap this thing up, God is Life, next Wednesday. If you're going to live by one word, then live by every word. Because it's not just enough for us to, I'm going to make sure I write that down so I don't forget. It's not just enough for us to get a little bit and just run off and do what we want to do. Go ahead on and get every single thing that God has given unto you. So next week we'll be in a place that God is Life is living by the word of grace. Living by the word of grace. God is life, and we should live by his grace. Because once we get right here in this place, we should have all that we need to be able to align. And that's what God is life, that's what it's all about, you aligning with it. You aligning with it. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for your presence. We thank you, Jesus, that you are life. We thank you that you give us yourself. We thank you that you gave yourself, and we thank you that when you give, you don't stop giving. You still are giving us yourself. It's for us to eat the bread, eat of your body, and drink of the cup, drink of your blood. It's for us to every single day be full and be satisfied in you. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over every single word that went forth today. And if that was something that maybe we have a not a clear understanding on, then we ask, Apostle Tyler, now we ask that you minister to every single ear and every single heart, articulate your word, because we know that you can do it much better than we can. And help us out, Father God. Help us not to go before you, but to yield to you, and then we go in the name of Jesus. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over flock that you have given for us to disciple. We ask that you keep us, you know, strong, you know, in your word, that you keep us sharp, you know, in your word. Father God, we realize that, you know, that the devil, you know, he's seeking whom he can devour. And we thank you, Father God, that we shall not be moved, neither shall we be afraid. Every single battle that we go into, Father, we ask that that you just keep on being with us. We know that you are with us and you would never leave us nor forsake us. But help our remembrance to know to call upon you when we're in trouble. And we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask that you go before us, Holy Spirit, when we leave this place, that you stay in front of us and that we keep our minds stayed on you. And tomorrow and every day that we be blessed and blessed and blessed till we all come together once more. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody do say amen, amen again. God bless you. May God keep you. Have a wonderful night. Sweet dreams to you. And we'll see you here again in the pulpit Sunday at 10 a.m. and then at 2 p.m. Amen.
Oh, I want to see him. upon his face.